to me wonderful words of life.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
The last time we discussed about the testimony of John the Baptist concerning Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In order to review that, to read that first chapter of Gospel of John, verse 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent the priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to your presence and with your word, we like to discuss where the Holy Spirit help us to understand it and speak about it and share the scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Jews have been puzzled about who this person is. Who is John the Baptist by the name that they came to know? That what is he doing? Why is he preaching? So that they wanted to know that who he is. You see, because they know the scripture tells them that there will be a coming of the Messiah. So everyone is waiting for the arrival of Messiah. So the Savior for the world coming, or also the first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. Isaiah prophesied that the light of the Gentiles, which is going to be the Messiah, and also the King of Jews is also going to be the Messiah. But at this time, John in verse 20, it says, "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed." He didn't deny anything, but he confessed. What is he confessed? He said, "I am not Christ." See, that's a bigger confession. See, John the Apostle Baptist realized they were concerned about the arrival of the Messiah. The Messiah's arrival has been foretold ever since Adam and Eve sinned. The woman's son will come and he will crush the serpent's head. The serpents, I explained many times, is referring to spiritually to Lucifer, which is Satan, who destroyed or who cheated many times Adam and Eve, who deceived them so that they were able to follow his direction of disobeying God. And he, the Lucifer, directly led them to the sin, the exactly the same one God told them not to do, which is eating the fruits on the middle of the garden. So that was exactly what Lucifer did. He did straight away to bring them to the right thing, which God told them not to do, and he have deceived them to do it. Now the Eve, or the woman who performed the mistake first, and have her husband also eat the fruit, and the husband does not refuse. He just continue going along with Eve and listening to the devil, and also following the instructions it has given to them. And they followed together, because the Bible says that Adam was with Eve at the time. It was not that Adam was away from Eve at the time. This Adam was right there. So he was equally responsible for what happened of disobeying God. So what happens is they were told, when they were punished and removing them from the Garden of Eden, right before that, God gave them this great pre-evangelical message or prophecy that the woman's son or the child will come and he will crush the serpent's head. Now, physically speaking, the serpent here is the snake, and also the woman is the regular Adam and Eve. They are regular human being. Now the woman's son is everyone, all the human beings, the men, all the men are the woman's son. And it could be applied to the snake and the woman's son physically, which means the woman's son, the men, they are going to kill the snake every time they see the snake, and the snake can bite their feet and they can kill the snake, crush its head. That is the physical or material part of the prophecy. But the spiritual part is, it is speaking to Satan that God's son Christ will come and he will crush the demon's head or Satan's head. That is the spiritual. So here the most important thing is the spiritual. So I was explaining about the first prophecy concerning the coming of Messiah, which was passed on from generation to generation from Adam's son Seth and from Seth to his descendants, and it came to Noah. Now Noah's time, all the descendants, all the human beings in the earth has been wiped out by the flood, and then Noah and his children and his wife and their sons' wives all left. 8 people. Now we know the 8 people from that 8 people of Noah and his descendants, the whole earth has been filled with people afterwards. Now the message was passed on to Noah, and Noah's message went through his descendants, and it passed on to Abraham and Abraham's descendants. Now the Abrahamic descendants, which are coming out to be today, as we know, the Jewish nation. So God was sending his son Christ or Messiah through the covenant of Abraham. In the Abrahamic covenant, God said he will bless the whole world by a descendant of Abraham in chapter 12. And that has been confirmed by God in also again in another chapter, in chapter 23 of Genesis. So as the Jewish nation and all the world at the time were waiting for a Messiah, when the three magi or the kings of the east came when Jesus was born, as we know the story of birth of Jesus, it was told that the three magi, when they came, they were asking, where is the one who is born as the king of the Jews? And that's what they asked. Where is that person? Which place? And they came to Jerusalem and they came searching for the boy or the king which was born to be the king of Jews. So in this story, we know everyone knew it in the Middle East and on, that the major part of the world were populated, that the Abrahamic covenant and also what God said from Garden of Eden, this message it was disclosed. In my opinion, many people in that region, they all knew the king of the Jews, he is going to be the savior. He is going to save the Jewish nation. He is going to ultimately save the world. What the Abrahamic covenant or the promise God gave to Abraham, this has been a wonderful message. This was a beautiful message, or it was a message of hope the world was waiting for. Or especially, if even though all the world was not waiting for, this was especially a bigger message for the Jewish nation. Because Abraham, who received this message, which was already spoken in the Garden of Eden, finally it come to Abraham. Now why it come to Abraham? Because God was waiting for a family, a father and mother who will take this information and believe in God, and they will have through their generation, this Messiah will come to the world. And many times people ask me why we have to follow a Messiah who was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, in the Jewish nation. Why we had to follow a Jewish Jesus? Yes, because we were not ready. A lot of the people in the world, they went their own way, and there was only one man named Abraham who will listen, who decided to listen to God. He looked at the heavens and he decided, this is the creation of God. There is one God. When the Mesopotamians in Iraq, which is today's Iraq, and when they were talking about all the creations of the sky, when they look at the sun, moon, stars, and galaxies, they have said these are gods. And from them, the Greeks picked it up and they decided these are gods, and they named each gods and they named the planets, and they named the days of the week, and everything. Those things happened, we know, according to the Greek history and Romans, and also mostly Babylonians and Greeks, who were the first astronomers. I mean, they were studying the astronomy and astrology and everything, and they were the learned people of the time. Now, we know that it was picked up by also Egyptians later, and they constructed pyramids. We know that accuracy in maths and science. So I don't want to divert my talk to that side, but I like to refer this, the knowledge of the coming of Messiah was throughout the Middle Eastern nations especially, and everyone knew this. Now, why it is very important? Now, after 4,000 years, after God has promised this, and then it is reconfirmed to Abraham, it came through Abraham, because since he was the only one who was going to listen to God, and he became a friend of God, and God met him many times. He had his divine encounter with God of the universe, and he received the covenants from God and blessings from God, and he believed in God. Its Bible says in the 15th chapter of Genesis that Abraham believed in God, and that counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham was justified by God because of his faith in God. The faith in God has many of these items in the faith. The faith that God, Lord God, is the creator of the universe. That was his first faith. Then he believed that God will bless him. And he believed God that, and he came out of Mesopotamia, and he went to a land and traveled throughout the land of Canaan. And God told him, and I will give you this land to your descendants. Amen. And God did all those promises throughout the history, that we know that the nation of Israel has been born through the covenants and blessings God gave to Abraham. So Abraham's children, now we know that Abraham's children are not just Jewish people only. We also know the people in the Middle East, the descendants of Ishmael. Ishmael was also one of his son from his wife Sarah's handmaid. So through the maid's relationship with the permission of Sarah, he had Ishmael. So Ishmaelites are also in the Middle East, many of them, and they're his tribes. So then we have Keturah's children. Keturah was the lady Abraham married after Sarah's death, and then he had children through Keturah. So all those generations, amen. And then Hagar. So Hagar was the maid of Sarah. Now later, Bible says that there is Hagarites, which means possibly Hagar married after she is leaving Abraham. And then there is another generation from Hagar. So all of these people coming through Abraham's descendants, they are all in the Middle East, not just the Jewish people. So Jewish people are just one of his descendants. So Abraham was blessed with all these nations. Now we have many drawbacks, many failures because of that. The war today going on in Gaza and Lebanon, all those because something that happened through Abraham's life. Anyway, the major part of our lecture is teaching here is the Jews want to know if there is a Messiah arrived. When John the Baptist started preaching, and he was baptizing people in River Jordan for repentance of sin. Now, why John the Baptist was preaching and the sin do the repentance? Because that was a prophecy by Isaiah in chapter 40 that there will be a person coming and he will be preparing the way of the Lord. It says, prepare the way of the Lord, it was a message in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord as said by the prophet Isaiah. So that's written in verse 23 in the Gospel of John chapter 1 we are talking about. So the message of John the Baptist was preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Now Messiah is near to the door. He's already been born. He was 6 months behind John the Baptist. Now if we study the story of the birth of Jesus and the birth of John the Baptist, both of them are more clearly written in the Gospel of Luke. Matthew talks about the birth of Jesus, and actually Luke gives more clear description of the birth of John the Baptist and also the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, the question here is being answered by John the Baptist. And in verse 20, he confessed and he denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. You see, the Jews are looking, basically wanted to know if he was Christ. But he said, no, I am not Christ. Verse 21, and they asked him, what then art thou, Elias? Elias means Elijah. And saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Now there is two people who are supposedly coming in the Jewish nation in order for to help him, assist them and lead them. Now the question here, are you Elias or are you that prophet? Now who is that prophet means? That prophet they are referring to, a prophet Moses has told them. Moses prophesied to them before his departure from this world, before he died, that there will be a prophet like him that who will be coming from among them. God will raise a prophet like me from among you. It was written, it was spoken by Moses. It is written in the book of Deuteronomy in the Torah. So they were expecting a prophet. That prophet, they haven't seen him yet either. Now, did they see Elias? Yes, Elijah had a prophet, has a ministry of prophecy in the book of 1 Kings and 2nd, before 2nd Kings. And we see a lot of his ministry, especially in the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament. So that's also part of the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament. They have these kings also and also the prophets. So it was, the question is that Elijah returned? See, they already know Elijah went up to heaven alive. He did not die. He went up to heaven as God sent fiery chariots and horses. And they came down and he was taken up like in a whirlwind. It's like a tornado. It just came and took him up to heaven by the protection with the heavenly fairy chariots and fairy horses come down. And he was taken up to heaven in the whirlwind, which is like a tornado type of storm. And he was taken up to heaven alive, and they are expecting his return. Now, the Bible talks about in Malachi and Zechariah especially about the return of Elijah. Now, why would Elijah return? Because he was one of them who went up to heaven, who never died physically, and now he has to come down. He has a ministry before the end time. Now, Bible talks about the Elijah's ministry, who he will be coming as one of the witnesses. There are two witnesses before the coming of the last time Jesus returned. Because when the Messiah coming in order to save the Jewish nation, praise God, that will be the second advent of Christ. In the first advent of Christ, he come to die for the sins of the humanity, including the Jews. But the second time, he will come to save the Jewish nation from the Antichrist when he finished all his diplomacy and persecution on the Jews. the end of the last period, which is the 7-year period, at the end of that period, Jesus will return, which is Jesus Christ, according to our Bible knowledge and history of the theology. But they don't know that yet. They did not believe in Christ, but they expecting Messiah will return. But before the Messiah comes, the Elijah comes. See, that's what they are asking. Are you Elijah? Because before the coming of Messiah, Elijah comes and he will do some preaching in Israel, and there will be a miracles and wonders. And along with Elijah, there will be another person, supposedly Moses. And some people have difference of opinion about that, but Moses and Elijah are supposedly the ones who did great wonders and miracles with the Jewish nation, and they will be the one returned in order to preach to the nation of Israel at the time before, in the middle of the tribulation time. So they were expecting Elijah's return. So they asked, are you Elijah? So Elijah, no, I am not Elijah. Now, are you that prophet? So the prophet which they are asking about is the someone who is similar to Moses. Someone who is a redeemer who is the similar to Moses. Moses was the redeemer or the savior of the Old Testament Israel. He saved them by the command of God and power of God. He brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. They crossed over, went to the wilderness. They traveled 40 years. They finally came. They crossed over Jordan. They had their battle with Jericho first. Then they have many battles, and they received their promised land, which God had promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the promised land of Canaan finally comes. Now, I mentioned in the beginning, Abraham received the promises of God. One of the promises was one of his seed will be, by him will the world will be blessed. Another promise was his children, his descendants will receive the nation of Canaan, the land of Canaan. So that 100% has taken place. Praise the Lord. So right now, after some another 2,000 years later, the coming of Christ. Amen. Christ hasn't come, even though it was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, about the woman's son who will come. Then it was prophesied by Moses, their leader, that there will be a prophet like me from among you. So Moses was referring to the Messiah. The Messiah has to be a human. Now, all the Jewish scholars know the Messiah will be a human person who will be coming and becoming their king. Now, the Messiah's first advent, according to the Bible, is that on the Old Testament and the prophecies of Isaiah, he has to be a virgin's son. He has to be a son of God who is born of the virgin, not born of a man and a woman relationship son. But Messiah has to be a human person, but who was the son of God. He has to be the son of God. Now we know Mary was a virgin, and God had her filled and covered by the Holy Ghost. And Christ, which was son of God, who was lived in God, he came in the spirit form, and he took his conception in the womb of Mary, who became his earthly mother. Now, God used this virgin young girl to be the mother, be the vessel for God's son to be born. God's son to be born, I will explain that the Holy Spirit engulfed Mary, as we read from the book of Luke chapter 3, and also in Holy Gospel of Matthew and chapter 2, 1 and 2, also we read how the birth of Jesus took place. And Mary was a very devoted young virgin girl in whom God was pleased to send his son Christ. Jesus was a spirit form living in the Father. And Jesus, we name by the birth, we got his name. Gabriel says, the angel said, his name shall be Jesus because he will deliver you from their sin, your sins. Because he is a savior, he will deliver you from your sins and your people from sins. That's why his name is Jesus. Jesus, the name, did not exist before his birth time, before the promise was given. It was only given at Gabriel, the angel, was giving the information to Mary and also to be going to be her husband, engaged to be her husband, Joseph. They did not have any physical relationship until Jesus was born. Bible says that very clearly. Because the angel of the Lord has told them, which is Gabriel, were communicating with both of them. So they stayed without having a physical relationship until the birth of Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus happened to be like, again, he was a spirit God, lived in God, and he entered into Mary's womb as a little one-cell organism, I will call it, that God is able to do that. However, God has made that happen by his spirit form, entered into Mary's womb to create himself. He made a human baby and born as a human. Even though he was spirit in God, God in his spirit, he was human in his appearance and in his life. Praise God. So that's why the woman's son, that's why even the Jewish theologians believe it has to be a human. So Jesus himself was a human form, body and flesh lived here, but his spirit was God. He was God in him, and he performed godly great miracles and wonders. Now, I will continue this message to the next session, so that it will completely explain about the other parts of this message. Because here, the first question answered Isaiah's prophecy and also Elias and the prophet. The prophet who used to come, which is supposed to be the Messiah, which Moses was speaking about. So I will explain that as soon as I finish this one. In the next week message, we will have that information. So may the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for listening.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions, or if you like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491. And my email address is p like Peter, r like Robert, dot chackov like Victor at gmail.com. That is pr.chackov at gmail.com.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City. This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, a national volunteer organization founded by Phyllis Schlafly and continuing to uphold her legacy by honoring family values, opposing radical feminism, and representing a conservative perspective in our nation's capital. Now from the Phyllis Schlafly Center Studios, here's Ryan Height.
Yesterday was Thomas Jefferson's birthday, a man whom we honor most for his writing of the Declaration of Independence. However, Thomas Jefferson has become a favorite founding father of the ACLU, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and other such atheist groups. They like to quote him as the author of the phrase, "Wall of Separation of Church and State." Well, if there ever was an example of words being taken out of context, this is it. Not only have atheists long used that quote to misrepresent Thomas Jefferson, but they have so often repeated it, the phrase separation of church and state, it's locked into our collective consciousness, a good portion of the population. The truth is, it's completely untrue that Jefferson saw no role for religion in government. Here is where the famous quote came from. In 1801,